that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape, well, you better hit the
gym with Gym
Wits. That's right, man. You tell them.
Welcome to the Gym Wits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gym Wits. So today is another edition of the Cheat Meal, where we get to talk about anything and everything that's not fitness related. So I don't think we have anything fitness related to touch on. Actually, we do kind of...
Something might come up.
We'll
see.
Well, kind of anything we're talking about is in the context... It's fitness, but in the context of the discussion. So today, anyway, we had a discussion in mind, and then we both started talking about things that annoy us. So I think we're just going to talk about our more kind of just annoying things that happen. I think
it's kind of like the Seinfeld episode.
I guess. So we had our idea, which is basically, I think, I forget what the way you worded it, but... modern relationships, or
it was like about the disposable nature of modern relationships and relationships of all sorts.
Yeah, so we have that in mind. That will be probably our main discussion. I know you wanted to talk about that, but then I
started to make you think about other stuff.
Well, yeah, and then I came into it. I was like, I was annoyed about another situation, and then Justin brought up something else. So we were just like, oh, there are all these annoying things. So I think we'll bring up a couple things. So anyway, I had a thing that another situation with someone at the gym, of course.
Always something at the
gym. Can't stand people at the gym sometimes. But it was just what I noticed. What's annoying is like basically like thinly veiled threats or people that kind of... it's just annoying.
Happened to me the other day too.
It's like the passive aggression type of thing. So it happened just last night. So I'm like a little annoyed about it. But basically, like I teach a class at this gym it's in the gym. It's a YMCA that has a large basketball court. So I teach a group fitness class in that area. So for me, teaching that class it can be a bit of a challenge because you've got 1, 2, 6 hoops that are all down, a bunch of teenagers and kids playing basket, and adults playing basketball, and then I got to get set up for a class. So usually they allot me 15 minutes to get set up for class. So if the class starts at 6:15, I have the gym from 6 to 6:15. I'm there early getting set up because I got to deal with setting up the gym. First thing I have to do to set up the gym is all the basketball rims all have to be kind of elevated so you can bring them all up. So that each hoop itself takes about a minute. Then there's like a center divider that's sometimes down. That takes about a minute. And then I have to kick people out, which takes some time because people, especially with teenagers and kids, they don't want to listen. And then I got to actually set up the room for my class. So I got all this stuff to do in 15 minutes. So typically when I start getting myself set up for a class is I start bringing up some of the hoops around like 5:55. I always leave one down for everyone, at least one down for people to use. And if there's a private lesson going on, I always leave that down for the private lesson.
Just as a question, why do you have to put them up and down? Why can't they just be up all the time?
The reason why I put them up is if I leave them down, people will not leave. You know, it's one of the situations where I bring them up so that I don't have stragglers who hang out and keep
people.
Yeah, because I can, but it's annoying because I'm trying to set up and then I got 30 people all hanging out and they don't want to leave and they want to do one more shot. So if I just start raising the hoops, they have no choice. Like they got to leave. Right. So that's part of it. And even so, they'll just hang out on the bleachers and I got to still kick them out. There's some really annoying kids in this that do that. Like they'll just kind of hang out. It's like, you got to go. They'll hang out 5 more minutes. You got to go. So anyway. So it was a guy whose son had a lesson, and I've seen him there before. I've never had any interaction with the guy. And I start raising the hoops, as I usually do around, again, it was like, at this point, like 5:57. And the guy starts yelling at me, no, you got to bring it down, you got to bring it down. My son's got a lesson. So I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know he had a lesson. So I start lowering the hoop. And then he keeps coming towards me. So now I've kind of listened to what he said. And I've been reasonable. I'm being reasonable. I'm lowering the hoop. I'm not arguing. No argument, nothing. And he keeps coming towards me. And he's like, you do this every week. We have the court. We have the court till 6:00. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you had the court reserved. And I'm not saying it like ironically. Like I thought, I was like, oh, maybe he does have the court reserved. He has a lesson. So I was like, oh, I didn't realize that you had the court reserved. You can, no, don't worry about it. I'll leave it down until 6 whenever you guys are, when you guys are finished. But he keeps going. He's like, no, well, it doesn't matter. We don't have it reserved, but you're not supposed to let things up until 6:00. We have the court till 6:00. And I'm like, no, and then I'm like, well, look, I got to get set up for my class, so I always start setting up around 1:45, 10:02. And so then then the thinly veiled threat comes in. He basically says to me, well, look, I don't want to have to complain I don't have to go up and complain to somebody, but this is ridiculous. And when he said that, he wasn't saying, you know when people say that, like where you get in customer, you see people in customer service situations, but like they'll, you know, they'll say, oh, what's your name? And it's not because they really want to know your name because your name is on your name tag. It's like, what's your name? Because I'm going to go talk to somebody if you don't listen to what I say. So that was the kind of, that was the way he was at saying that. You know, it wasn't like,
yep.
You know, he's saying it to threaten me. And so my response was, my manager's right in that, you know, office across the way. You can go in there and talk to him. His name is blah, blah, blah. Feel free. And when I said that, he was kind of taken aback and just turned around and was mumbling something and walked away. But it's just like, that was annoying, and I don't like those types of, you know, it's one thing if you kind of communicate with, you know, because we'd never interacted before. It's not like this keeps happening.
Yes.
He said that this happens all the time, which what he probably means is I start raising the hoops all the time. But I've never had an interaction with him where I raised it or stopped a
Did
lesson.
You even recognize
his.
Him?
I know I've seen him in the gym. But that's the extent of it. Like I know yeah. his face. But I think what it is he's just annoyed that I start setting up, and I'm kind of a, not that I'm a dick about it, but I'm kind of a dick about it, like as far as no, but let me explain. When I start,
do I have to
so
censor
again,
that
I don't know, maybe not, I don't know, we'll see. So I start raising again around 5:55, 5:55, but again I always leave at least one or two down. And you know what happens is, what I'll do is when I start raising them and somebody comes up to me and says, hey, you know, can we get one more shot, or can we keep, I'm always very strict about like, no, I'm done, it's done, I'm raising it. You know, I'll give them their 5 minutes, I kind of give the warning. Sometimes I do, sometimes no. But whatever the case is, when anyone asks, I say no. The reason why though is because there's a lot of teenagers and kids, if I give in to one person, then the floodgates open up.
Sure.
So I have to be really strict about it. So I'm not like, you know, I don't want to be mean about it, but I've seen it work the other way. If I don't do it, then I have to deal with it, and I deal with all the people.
There's so much that goes into this story about on different
yeah, so you're right. So anyway, yeah, so I mean, I've seen the guy before, but I've never had an interaction with him. Maybe the only thing I can think is maybe it was a situation where I started raising the hoops and he said, can we keep playing for a little more while, and I said no. So I've had people do that before too, where they're like, oh, the schedule says this time. And it's like, well, it doesn't matter what the schedule says. Like, I have the authority to start setting up. And I think I said that too. It's like, I can do it. If you want to talk to somebody, go ahead, but don't threaten me. And I just, so again, I've seen that in other situations. You'll see in a customer service situation where someone's not getting their way and they're wrong. And instead of giving up, that like I said, they'll say, well, what's your name?
They'll resort.
They'll threaten, you know, make, and it's just like, don't threaten. If you have a problem, then go talk to who you need to talk to. Don't do it so that because he's basically saying it so that next time, you know, I'm afraid and I'm worried to like raise the hoops. So I'm just gonna do it again because that's what I do. And
yeah, yeah.
He can. And I even went to my manager. I was like, yeah, you're probably gonna get a complaint, and told him. And I was like, yeah, so, this is what it is. Like,
yeah, I had something similar to that happen where I was double parked legally. There's actually an hour and a half where I'm allowed to do it on alternate side street cleaning sides. And this guy's trying to get his car, his big bus through. And actually the issue was there was a car illegally parked at that time that was blocking. And so he's yelling at me and the other guy, oh, I'll get a cop. I'm like, get a cop, fine. You know, you're going to make a threat to get a get a police officer for this.
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, oh, I heard you can't double park. I'm like, well, you heard wrong, because we can. Of course you can't double park in general.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, yeah, I've experienced similar things, and it brings up a lot. Yeah, people want to feel like they have power over you. And here's another thing that is sort of an annoyance, another modern annoyance, is people take things very personally.
Yeah.
That have nothing to do with them. Right. You're setting up. Yes, it indirectly affects, or directly it affects them, but they want to get three or four extra minutes. Why? Because they want it.
Yeah.
Right. Did he reserve? Did he have a lesson? Did he reserve?
They
the
didn't
course?
Have a lesson. No. So right. Like that's the thing. So when I saw that he had a lesson, I immediately changed it. I started. So I did not argue with him. It wasn't like he said, you know, typically when I start raising the hoops and someone says, hey, can we? That's where I said I'm kind of being a dick about it. Like, I'll just say no. I'm getting set up. I'm just like, that's it. But in this case, as soon as he said, hey, we have a lesson, I started lowering it. I didn't even get to that point where I said no. It was like, I saw what was going on and I started lowering it. And that was it.
Yep.
You know, but it was kind of what you were getting at before. I don't know, forget if it was before we started talking here, but you'd mentioned like some people like to get the last word.
Yes.
You know, like
they want to win.
They want to win the argument. And especially if you don't give them that, it's for some people, it's like it's even more frustrating. Even if you give in, if you don't give in the way that they want you to give in, or if you don't, either if you're not aggressive back, which some people want, or if you're too passive back, they react. Or if you're not, if you're not aggressive, or if you're not, I guess, passive enough, they keep going.
They keep going. Oh yeah, the carry on.
Yeah.
Where people, like, you can apologize, like, you've done something, like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, or you do it, and if, but they'll keep going, well, you know, we have the court until here. It's like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Right? No, but we had it, you know, this keeps going on, and like, why are you continuing?
Yeah.
And there's another thing, he's taking it personally. Yeah, he had his lesson, that's fine. You were respecting that, but he wasn't respecting the fact that you have a class, you have a job.
Yeah.
It's that you've been sent to do this. He doesn't know your backstory. He doesn't know that you have a manager that said you're allowed to do this.
Yeah.
He just was only thinking of himself. Mm-hmm. He wasn't thinking, well, why is he setting up?
Yeah.
Does he work here? Is he an employee? Like, is there reasons? All he could think about was, we have this lesson till 6, which you respected.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing, is that if he would have come to me, if he had to keep going, right? Like, okay, let's say in his mind, this happens often. Again, I've never had an interaction with him, but this happens a lot. It's during a session, and he doesn't want his kid to miss any time, and he's paying for his time, so he lost a minute of his time because I started, whatever it is, right? Then come to me and say, hey, look, we always have, we have sessions at this time.
So many better ways
find out the situation. Like, ask me what's going on, or talk to me, or explain that situation, and then we can resolve it. And I can explain, I can explain to him, look, I typically get set up early because I need to get the kids off the court. But now that I know that you guys have a lesson, I'll make sure that whenever I see you guys working there, that I'll, keep it down until 6 o'clock. Like, there was an easier way to go about it instead of, like, being so aggressive. And it was just annoying. Again, it was like, everything was fine. Even as he kept going, it was when he made the threat. Because it was just like, what? Like, that, then that pissed me off. I was like, what the hell? Yeah. Like, what does that even matter?
Of course. So. Yeah, people definitely want the last word. They want to feel that they've won. I feel that people also like to either bite at someone or, fight with something. It's kind of like this. Maybe he had his own frustrations or whatever it was, and this was just a way for him to get that. You were a target at this time, and he could just argue with it. Yeah, a lot of people reasonably would have gone about it in a different way.
Yeah.
I saw something on the street that sort of perturbed me, and I see stuff like this all the time. There was construction going on, and yes, construction in New York City is very annoying.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's something that as humans is really drives us crazy, is when something annoys us or bothers us or hurts us, and we don't have a direct way of getting back at it.
Yeah.
Like, we are sort of vindictive. We like revenge. We want to be able to get even.
Yeah.
So something like traffic, for instance, who do you blame? Nothing. It's just traffic. And that's why it's so maddening, because there's no one to blame. Yeah, maybe someone made an accident and you could blame that. But really, you can't blame there's no one to blame with traffic. And that's why it's so maddening and just so awful. Now, something similar to this, I was walking down the street, and yes, construction in New York is very annoying. And you want to blame, you want to blame the city, you want to blame this or that, right? But you can't blame the workers. Mm-hmm. They are just doing a job. Yet, this guy was walking down the street, and there was a guy working there, a construction worker or whatever it was. He had a hat on. I don't know if he was actually a construction worker, or maybe he was just there to oversee the project. I don't know what it was. So this guy walks up to him and he says, how am I supposed to walk around all this? How am I supposed to get around all this? It's like, oh, well, sorry, you were inconvenienced, right?
The guy said that?
No, the guy didn't say that. The guy said something like, was almost looked in shock, and he's like, well, you could be, how about being nice?
Oh, he said that.
How about being nice? Okay. Well, being a decent person.
How did the
and
person
the, I know the other person just walked away. It's like, you're getting yell at this guy for this construction work that's going on. Yeah. For all we know, the street was dangerous, and it needed to be fixed so that there weren't accidents, so that when you drive your car, there's not a huge pothole, or that it, who knows, right, why there's construction. Maybe the city just was doing a project to, pad someone's pockets. That's possible, too. Any way you look at it, it wasn't this guy's fault.
Yeah.
Why would you yell at him? Because that he
the
was
only representative
there.
Of the
he was there, right? And that it's so when I see that sort of stuff, it's so infuriating. It's like, you're gonna yell at him because he's there.
Yeah,
really, right? What is it? What does it gain from yelling at this poor guy?
Nothing.
Nothing, except you could vent, but it's like you're venting, you're now attacking this poor dude who's just working.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you've seen.
Oh yeah, we see it all the time.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Any
with policies, again, like with business service, policies, you yell at the you know, the clerk or whoever is
exactly, you know, like you'll. I mean, they're at that moment the face of whatever you're angry at, instead of realizing like if there's some kind of company policy, well, you got to go way up the ladder to you know, if you want to get angry with somebody, you don't yell at the person, you know, at the front desk or the, you know, person at the register. Like they don't make any decisions. They have to maybe enforce some things. Yeah.
Same thing like yelling at a waiter or wait. That's one of my big, when people who abuse, I know we've talked about this before, people who abuse service workers, it's one of my biggest pet peeves.
Yeah.
It's beyond a pet peeve. It's like you're going to yell at the waiter or the waitress because they cooked the wrong dish.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, if they took the wrong...
But still, you're going to yell at them.
I think it's like mistreating them is not fair. So mistreating them?
It's like maybe they did make a mistake. You know, maybe they... So what?
Right? So now, can you apply this reasoning to your hatred of meter maids? Or is there an appropriate term for that?
Yes. So here's the deal with that.
What?
And I'll tell you what it is. That
if you don't know Justin, I mean, most people do despise them, but Justin has a particularly strong hatred. If we're driving and we see somebody giving a ticket to like a parked car or somebody, like Justin gets visibly upset. So
because they've taken a job that his entire work revolves around hurting people. It's not necessary in that way.
How so? Right. What do you mean?
It's just not necessary in that way.
How is it
that, not? Like, they're looking right for 1 minute, 2 minutes. Now, I think there could be a reasonable thing for people that are parked in front of hydrants,
mm-hmm.
people that are parked in dangerous tow-away zones, bus stops, stuff like that. Totally acceptable.
Okay.
Totally acceptable. But meter maids who walk around just to look for 1 minute, 2 minutes past the meter, that's wrong. It's predatory. People need to drive. They need to get around. People get stuck in places. This sort of few minutes, it's like to have no grace period. And the fact is that from the ground up, it's a system in order to hurt people. The parking system.
But then again, you get angry at the system, not at the... I mean, it's a job.
It's both. It's both, though. They've taken a job that is wrong in the first place. The system is wrong, and you're working for a system that is wrong. That's
then
how I feel.
You just have to follow the laws. You can't be angry at... They're not taking a job that's immoral.
Yes, it is. I believe it's immoral.
It's not immoral.
I believe it's immoral, though. If you work for an evil, if you choose to get a job for an evil, for people that do wrong, and I'm not talking about like something like Walmart that rides the line. Yes, they do tons of shady practices, but they're still a legitimate business, and there's a lot of people that won't work for Walmart because of that. That's different. Like the meter maid system, their entire job revolves around hurting people, taking people's money, hard-earned money. Right,
that's fair.
They're working for a system that is slanted to take people's money. The entire parking system, the way that people have to live, they have to work. We need cars, right? Some of us need them to survive. And the whole system in New York, based around meters and parking and this whole thing, are slanted to make it very difficult for people to park. So people drive around for hours, right? We spend years of our life looking for parking. When we do park, often signs are not always visible. They're confusing, right? Sometimes meters don't always work. Everything is slanted against us as drivers. Things that are basic necessities, and not only that, they're necessities for patronage. We need. I drive to places so that I can pay money to vendors, to service people. Yeah. Doctors, lawyers, all sorts of stuff. I need my car to get there much of the time.
Well, New York is a bit of an. So, I don't think it's an evil job.
You don't have to think it's an evil job.
I think that it's unfair. There are aspects of it that are unfair to the drivers, but it is a necessary job. we do need some form of traffic control. It's kind of like, you know, we need rules around driving. And there's nothing immoral about driving, but we do need rules. We need laws around it. We need laws around traffic. Especially in a place like New York, where it's a huge city, where, to be honest, most people should not be driving. It's not good for the environment. It's not good for health. It's not good for getting around in a congested city. So it does serve as a form of kind of like population control of the cars, right?
Within reason. But I think it's so far beyond reasonable.
Okay, but again, that's a system. Like, that's the system. It's not the people taking the jobs.
No,
like,
but the system is so slot.
Like,
so
if you take a job as a, I don't know, as a...
Similar might be like a tow truck person. Like, people hate tow truck drivers.
Yeah, because there's an emotional response. If someone's towed your car, regardless of whether you did anything wrong, it means potentially days or weeks of inconvenience. It means loss of income, potentially, for some people who drive, who need to drive. It means, then you have to spend money. So there's an irrational, you know, even if you are wrong, let's say you double parked.
Yeah, yeah.
And for whatever reason, let's say you're really sick and you got to run to a bathroom and you have to double park, you know, and you get towed. Like, you didn't do anything wrong, but you did. Like, you did something that was against the law. And if we allow everybody to double park, it becomes a problem. So but you're going to be angry nonetheless.
Yep.
I understand. So I get what you're saying. I don't think the people are evil or that
their job is to take from people. We pay driving taxes.
Yeah, right. It's an additional tax.
Right. So once again, within reason, if someone is parked, and then on top of that, yes, the system is messed up, but it's hypocritical too. There's people who make much worse driving offenses that get nothing. Parking is its own thing, right? Yes, someone's parked in zones or areas that really affect the flow of traffic, that affect, commerce, business, and trucks getting in. Yes, that makes sense. But specifically meter maids, where they're looking, and if you go over for a couple minutes, they're right there trying to give you, they're right there trying
but
to
But then
give
where's
you
the line? Like, if you say, okay, we get 5 minutes, then... If it's 6 minutes,
well,
then
the other thing is it's the system in general, that is slanted and makes it very hard to park, drive. They take away so many parking spaces. Yeah. Some of them for good reason. Some of them, believe me, I've lived here. I know when they're just when streets are fine for parking. Like, all of 96th Street would be fine for parking. Mm-hmm. Would be fine for it. It wouldn't affect any flow of traffic or anything. But they don't have it. Why? Because they want parking to be more difficult. Why? Because it makes money for the city.
Yeah.
Parking lots, garages that have a huge tax. Like you go into a parking garage, 25% tax. So when someone's forced to park in a lot, it's going to the city and state, right? So tons of money in parking. More people that park illegally means more money, more fines, right? So it's a messed up system in the first place, and there's people that are enforcing something that is wrong in the first place.
Okay.
So that's my issue. They are taking a job. They're working for an evil system. That's what I believe.
Okay.
Right. So that's why they're not. I don't believe they're just doing their job. They're doing an evil job.
All right. We'll agree to disagree. Hopefully, we didn't lose any listeners.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that.
I'm sure people agree with you. And I understand it. You're there. Definitely. It's fair. You know. Yep. Don't agree. But yeah, it's frustrating to have to deal with it. All right. So, any other annoyances before we get to what you wanted to talk about?
Sort of the main thing. I was trying to think of a gym annoyance, and
there are tons of. I mean,
well, what's one for you?
What's not? We always talk about annoying things people being inconsiderate, leaving weights out, you know, not wiping down equipment, sweating all over stuff. I mean, there are tons of things.
Yeah.
What's
I think those are sort of obvious.
Yeah.
Though.
So what's not so obvious?
I think one is when people use is when people use equipment in a way that they have a lot of other options.
Okay.
So like for me, maybe it shouldn't, but when people use the squatting rack, you know, they'll go into the squatting rack, and often gyms only have one.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of exercise, but then they're doing something with just the bar, like a curl or a little tricep thing that they could do with many other types of weights. They have the smaller bars, the smaller curling bars that you can do small bicep stuff like that. They have tons of dumbbells. They have so many other ways to do it. Yet this person is choosing to take up all this space and use the one piece of equipment that a lot of people need to do. See, like, there's a lot of different exercises that you can do there. Squats, deadlifts, bent over rows, military prep, like so many exercises there, and someone's doing that you can only do in that spot.
I got a good one that happened to me like 3 or 4 days ago. That was a very similar situation. Luckily, it didn't turn into big arguments. I glossed over, but this is common.
Okay.
So, like the squat rack, that's annoying. So now also pull-ups. So most gyms have a number of pull-up bars. If you really count them, right? Generally, they're going to have the one big pull, the regular, like, you know, pull-up slash Roman. So they'll have the pull-up, you know, in Roman chair station, right? That's one. Yeah. Then like the cable crossovers, and usually most gyms will have one or two at least, will have a pull-up bar in the middle. Then the squat rack.
They have the pull-up machine as
well. Squat racks, you now, especially the newer ones, will have some kind of a bar so you can do pull-ups there too. So anyway, there's this area of the gym which is like four trainers only. Or not four, it's like, it basically says like, if a trainer's using this space, please, you know, move. I forget how it's worded. But it's basically like, this is an area for trainers. You can use it if they're not trainers here, but if they're trainers here, you gotta go. So anyway, this guy, and I'm good about, like, if someone's using the cable cross machine there, I'm not gonna get in their way. I don't bother people. Like, I'll just stay, do something else. I'm not one to like try to kick people out of this space. Yeah. I'll figure something out. So anyway, but there's a guy there and he's doing pull-ups, and I really want to use that cable cross with my client. So we're working out. We go to one area. The guy's just doing pull-ups, and then he'll do a pull-up. He'll do a set of pull-ups, and then he'll just hang out in between like the cables, like just sit there, like for 2-3 minutes at a time. So at some point, I was like, hey, can we jump in here? And he's like, oh no, I'm still using this. And it's like, well, you're just doing pull-ups. There are a bunch of other pull-up bars around the gym. Do you mind going somewhere else? And he's like, well, you know, I'm just doing my sets here. But, and then I said, well, look. And then I had to like break out this area is reserved for trainers card. So it's like, well, look, you know, the area is for training, and I wouldn't mind if you were using the cables, but since you're just using pull-ups and there are other pull-up bars, I really would appreciate it if you let us use it. And then he finally, you know, I said, you can work in with us. We just need to use this. And then he walked away. It ended fine. Yeah. I don't think he was happy with it, but he wasn't aggressive or nasty. But that happens a lot, where people will jump in on the pull-up area on the squat rack or in the cable. And it's just like, I guess most of the gym annoyance things just comes down to people not being considerate or maybe not aware. Like, there are other people there and other people want to use equipment. So you kind of have to think, like, what am I doing, and am I in anyone's way, and can I do this somewhere else? Or people who, like, will do, like, another...
Always look around to see.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Look around to see if someone else is eyeing equipment, and I always say, hey, are you using this? Are you using this?
Another pet peeve is, like... Yeah, it's funny. Now there are a bunch of gym annoyances. So people love doing deadlifts. See, people didn't do that. Like, there weren't... Like, deadlifts weren't as popular when we were... You know, growing up,
we
exercising.
We were doing them,
but like, you know, people who are doing deadlifts were like the serious lifters, for the most part. But now, lots of people do deadlifts. But the problem is, like, you know, squat rack is an area where you can do the deadlifts. Now, if the squat racks in the smaller space, like again, the same gym, it's not the largest floor space in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of people will do their deadlifts in the middle of the one open area there, even if the squat racks are not. Being used.
Oh yeah.
And it's like
the deadlifts or any again, type like, of press of that,
you know,
nature,
it's like,
of
why,
the whole bar.
Why not just use a squat rack? Yep. Why are you going to inconvenience everybody else? Because that's the one open space. So not that people even work out in that space, but like to get anywhere, like there's so much traffic going past
and you have
that.
Your weights and
then
weights
you've got the weights. And then the worst is some people who just will leave their stuff there, which is bad enough. But that's a normal thing. I mean, you'll see that regularly. Or people who just take the weights off, like they'll unrack their weights or rack the weights, but then leave the weights hanging there. And it's it's like, I think in the gym, it just comes down to just being considerate and aware. Like who's around? What am I doing? Are there other people? Is it busy? Is it not busy? You know, you see it on, you know, and if it's peak hours and all the treadmills are taken, don't spend an hour on the treadmill. Like you've got to be realistic. Yeah. Like, and some people are so
just like, it's a microcosm for life. Like, be considerate of, you know, it's like a similar concept. If you're in a crowded, like a little eatery, and like there's a lot of people that would wish to sit down, and you finished your food and you have your little, tiny bit of coffee left, yeah. and you're on your phone doing all sorts of stuff, and you're taking up a seat that could be potentially for three or four people,
yeah.
and you're just sitting there doing that. It's, you know, oblivious,
yeah.
right? It's like, come on, get a move on, or I mean, at least, you know, invite people to, you know,
yeah.
down.
I can understand. The only thing I can appreciate about that type of, and I agree. I think the reasonable thing to do.
A few minutes after you finished eating, you relax. Yeah. A few minutes, but once you've stayed,
I guess it depends,
you
know, on the setting.
A long time passed, and you see other people would like to sit down. Yeah. Then
it depends on the setting. Like there's a pleasure in, you know, especially if you have a busy. Like I'm a little bit more understanding of that, because let's say you have a busy day, sure. and that's your time to yourself.
Yep.
And I know, okay, I'm going to this place. I'm going to sit down. And I could just like unwind, or I could just yep. recharge. I can understand, yeah. you know, it's like, this is my lunch break. I'm going to go eat. I'm sitting there. Is it the most considerate thing in the world? No. But I can at least understand how there's a personal.
How long are you doing yeah. it for? Is there another space? You know, a lot of places have those counters yeah. for just one person instead of taking up a booth for four people.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Within reason.
No, I understand that. I mean, we see it all the time. I think we could probably go on forever on pet peeves. Yeah, so what's this idea you had on like modern date? Because like I've not been single for a while, you know, for about 7 years, so I don't know your pain.
Initially started, and I'm guilty of it too. I initially started thinking about it in terms of dating,
yeah.
but then I started thinking, wait a minute, this happens in almost every facet of life, and it's the disposable nature of relationships. Mm-hmm. People are, depending on your job, if you're dating, if you're meeting new people, you're constantly getting texts, calls, stuff like that, especially mm-hmm. texts. Now, texts are cool and they're convenient, but they're also dangerous in a way, because they don't make a real connection. It's very easy to say stuff within text.
Yeah.
Or not say something that's much harder by phone. You can't get around it. So one thing is in dating. Yeah, we all know about not calling back and not texting someone back. But depends on the situation. If someone has texted you and saying, hey, do you want to go out? Do you want to see again? You know, so, you know, you want to see me again? Or hey, or just something like that. There's a few common texts that you'll get on both sides of the thing. Mm. One is called, which almost annoys me worse than not getting anything at all. Although really not getting anything at all, I've done it in the past, and I've completely changed my thought process on it. It's called, one thing is called the fizzle, where you'll give someone.
Have you made this up, or is this really what it's called?
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's what it's called. That's what I call it, but. It's out there.
Okay.
It's where someone will write one word little thing answers over large periods of time in order just to hope that you go away. Right? I've done that before in the past.
Yeah.
I'll never do it again. Never do it again. It's just not cool. Right? If someone is interested in you for whatever reason, and you're not interested, just let them know.
Yeah.
Right? I've on many occasions said, hey, you know, I'm just not interested in this relationship. I don't think we connect on that level. And I've had women say that to me as well. And when that happens, it's like, fine. All right. But nothing is really more upsetting than when you know, you want to see someone, you ask, hey, you want to go out again? You want to do this? And they take days and days. Maybe they'll respond with an answer like, yes. And that's even worse. And then sometimes you get string along. Yeah. And we understand how dating is. Like, you're seeing different people. You're not sure who you want. But it's just not fair to other people.
Yeah.
Say what you mean, right? If everyone did that, I think people would be happier in general. Now, here's the sort of funny thing. Oh, well, and then I guess just not responding at all. I mean, you just don't respond at all. Someone's like, oh, I thought he would get the hint. It's like, really? You just want someone to get the hint by not responding? No, just immediately say, I'm not interested. That's it. Now, if someone continues to say, hey, oh, but what about this? Then you can just ignore them or block their number. That's totally acceptable once you've fairly said, hey, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Totally cool. Then if they're overstepping their boundaries by, you know, continuing to, you know, to talk, it becomes harassment. But you know, with not responding at all, just not a cool thing to do. And I think that it's something that it's very easy to do by text. You just don't have to. You just don't have to write anything. It's very because someone you don't really see someone. You don't hear someone's voice. You don't have to. It's very easy to just.
Yeah.
You don't feel there's a connection, and I think it goes hand in hand with texting. Yeah. The fact that some relationships are almost built off of that makes it seem as if the relationship isn't there in the first place. So it's really easy to just, oh, you know, it's not really strong, it's not really secure, so I could just forget about it. And I remember thinking, this happened with, yes, it happens in dating and it makes sense, but it's now gone to other parts of life, work, other types of relationships, all sorts of stuff like that. I don't know if you've dealt with stuff like that, where you'll deal with clients where they'll ask you for something and then you know I'll respond saying, hey, did you want to meet there? And they just not get back to me. It's like, wait a minute, but you initiated it. You know, this is, you know, annoying. I'm setting my schedule partially around you and you're just not responding. Mm-hmm. Right? We've done good work. I've had this with clients too, where I did a lot of good. It's funny, like they will, you know, request or almost demand my attention. Like, oh, you know, my kid has a project to do. We really need you. So I will rearrange my schedule, do whatever I have to do to help them because it's an emergency, right? And I'll spend day, you know, hours and we'll do great work and they'll thank me. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, whatever, they're like, all right, let's meet. We want to do more work in the future. Then I'll send them, hey, you know, I'm back. Oftentimes I'll send out texts when a new semester happens because I'm trying to arrange my schedule. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, hey, you know, I'm arranging my schedule. Did you guys want to meet up? And this has happened a few times. They just haven't responded.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I was very courteous with you. I really rearranged my schedule to make everything happen for you. Now, all you need to say is, hey, we're busy right now. I'll contact you.
Yeah.
But I didn't get that a bunch of times. And then finally, 3 months later, we got, oh, I'm so sorry. We were busy. It's like, no, you weren't that busy that you could have said, we're busy right now.
Yeah.
That takes.
I think we all do. I do that sometimes. Oh, right.
Yeah. We do that. Yeah. We do now. What is the reason for it? You just don't want to tell, like, why would you not tell someone that you have a decent relationship with, whether it was, you know, you went on a date and it was a good date, but you just don't want to be with the person. You're just not on that level. Or you worked with someone who was great and you're just too busy now to work with them. Why would someone just not respond?
I guess there's this, it's interesting because, like, texting, email, it started obviously with email and IMs. Now it's with texting, we've become equally. It's like in equal parts more connected and disconnected because you're ever kind of present. Like I know that if I want to get in touch with you and I text you, you're going to read that text soon. Yeah. It's not like I'm going to call you, you know, not like when we were young, you know, where
you leave a message and hope you get back message.
And maybe you get it, maybe you get it late. Like I know you're going to get it. So then the question is like, when you decide to respond? Now, sometimes like I have fully, like it happens with me, I'm sure it happens with lots of people. Like I'm fully intent on responding
and you get,
and I just forget about it. Like,
or you write the draft and something
and then
else
you forget. Yeah, exactly. So that's happens, but more happens. Often than not, there's, especially when it's like dealing with bad news, I don't know if it's out of, if it's just kind of wanting to formulate the right response. Like, let's say if you want to tell somebody you're not interested, it's not an easy thing to say.
Sure.
And definitely not an easy thing to write. So part of it
certainly
is
easier to write it than to say it.
So there's some, it's easier to, the act is easier, but then you have to formulate the right words.
Sure.
You know, so there's that part, which is probably, you know, there's a part that's, okay, how am I going to say this? You know, obviously I haven't dealt with this in that type of relationship, but I've dealt with it with business stuff or like work things. If I have to tell somebody, oh, I can't cover this for you, or I can't do this, or I can't show up for that, or I can't do it. So it's like, some of it is like, okay, I got to formulate the right words. I've had this happen just recently. Like I was, I do 3D printing stuff. So I get some work here and there. And someone put in an order that, was I made the mistake. So typically, and it's funny, a couple people asked me about like how to get into 3D printing. So I thought maybe one cheat meal will be on like getting into 3D printing. So, but anyway, somebody emailed me. I mean, someone sent me a file that they wanted me to print. Mm-hmm. And I took a quick look at the file on my phone and accepted the job. So typically when you get the best practices for me, and I didn't do this, was when you get the file, you open up the file, check it out, make sure everything's okay in one set of software. Then you actually put it into another set of software that basically simulates how it's going to print. And then you take a look at that, see, okay, does everything look good? Everything looks good, great. And then you can accept the job.
I made the mistake of not doing that second part. So I just saw the piece and thought, okay, looks good, whatever. And then when I actually got the when I actually got home and set it up, it wasn't printing right. And then I was constantly having these issues. So now I've screwed up because I accepted the job and didn't do it. But now I have to explain to this guy, like, I can't take your job. And then we were going back and forth, and it was like hard. I remember like I got a form of the red spot. I didn't want to give the bad news that like I took this job on and I can't follow through on it. And so there is, you know, there's that part where it's like sometimes it's just hard. You don't want to give bad news, and it's and I'm guilty of that too. And it makes it easy. Text makes it easy, but then it makes it hard to figure it out. And then you just let things go by for a while. It is tough. Like, you know, when somebody just it's so much easier to just and for the most part, most people are reasonable, so they're not going to freak out when you give them bad news. It's the same thing. If someone gives me bad news, I'm not going to freak out unless it's something, you know. Unless they've been malicious or they're doing something really wrong. So yeah, it's a tough aspect of life because everyone expects you to respond quickly, and you have that instant access, but then it's easy to just disconnect because you're not close to the person. You don't see the person. You're not talking to them. And yeah.
No, it's, I guess so, but don't you think it's selfish?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, because you can't formulate or because it's hard for you to do it.
It is. Absolutely. You know what? You're right. Because in that case, I was stringing the person along
for you
until they figured out, you know, and you're right. Like the right thing to do is be straight up front and be honest and do it quickly before things get out of hand.
You remember what happened? I was really upset about this one girl that wasn't responding to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you had said she's probably dating someone else. I'm like, that's fine. Why wouldn't you just say it? Yeah. Like, but I was upset because I thought I had said something that offended her.
Yeah.
So I was, because things were going well, we were, you know, we seemed to be into each other, and I don't know, you know, I joke around a lot, so I, you know, sent her a text, she never got back to me. So finally she got back and said, oh, you know, I'm seeing someone else. No, you never said anything that offended me. And then after that I was like, oh, all right, fine. You know,
exactly,
then
you move on. But that was,
I wasn't upset. I wasn't really upset about her. I was like, whatever, I barely knew her.
But it's just frustrating that she could have just said that.
And I really thought that I had hurt her.
Well, it's become like a modern expectation, or not expectation, but people kind of figure, okay, I'll just ignore it and they'll get over it. You know, I've had that happen with fitness type situations lately too, or clients where, you know, you set things up and everything, you know, everything's fine, and then they don't show up for a session, and then I send a text, it's like, or an email, like, hey, what happened? What's going on? Do you want to meet next week? And then just nothing. And then I'll follow up, and maybe they'll respond, maybe not. And then this just kind of hope, like, okay, well, a couple times, and that'll be that.
It's
inconsiderate.
Nothing, I mean,
it
that's one of the, just
that.
The things. Oh, just I hope that I'm just going
to
ignore it and it'll go away.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that line of thinking is just, it just so, just like bothers me that thought. Oh, it'll go away, you know, if I ignore it. Now, of course, there's instances where someone might bother you, and then you're ignoring someone who is, like, you know, harassing you.
Yeah.
Way different thing. You know, if someone has good intentions and you're you know, acting like that, oh, I'll just ignore him and he'll go away.
Yeah.
It's just not the right thing to do, you know. Or, you know, this girl's texting me, she wants to see, so, but I think I'm just going to not say anything. She'll get the hint. Like, it's just not the right way.
I mean, it's always
to
easy.
And it's so funny how that, the what was a dating thing, has gone into other aspects of life.
Yeah.
Just not being considered. And I know that, you know, there's, once again, it's always within reason. Yeah, we're busy. We get bombarded with a lot of stuff. But when you think about, oh, sort of golden rule, how do you want to be treated? Would you like it if you needed something? Do you realize that other people are building their schedule around you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what you say to them matters, right? Other people might have some hopes invested in you.
Yeah.
What will take you 5 seconds to do will save them time, worry, heartache, who knows what else. So many other things it'll do for someone else, for just you being lazy or a little selfish because you don't want to be the, you know, the bearer of. And sometimes it's not even bad news.
Yeah.
It's neutral news. Like when with the client being like, oh, we're busy right now. That's not even really bad news. It's like, okay, that's fine. But just not responding.
Yeah.
Right. Think about this. It makes you think, wait, did I do something wrong? Like if really brings a host of other thoughts, especially when you've spoken, you've had some sort of relationship, and now you're not speaking anymore. It really plays tricks with this person's head. Yeah. It's like, did I offend them? Did I do something wrong? What did I do? Like, yeah. It makes you question other parts of your life. So really think before you just say, oh, I'm just going to whatever. I'll get back to this person when I get back to them. They'll take a hint, right? Before you do that, really think, how would this other person feel? How would you feel? You know, if it's a dating thing, just say you're not interested. Or say, I don't know how. Like, or be honest in one regard or another. That's always okay.
Yeah.
It's always okay. What's not okay is just not to respond, or to the fizzle to me is basically not responding. Just using one word answers that don't give any information.
Yeah.
Or like someone, if someone, like girls will do this a lot where a guy says something and he's talking and she'll go, haha. It's like that. It's almost, that's rude. It's like, if you're not interested, just tell him right now. Of course, if he continues to harass you and talk to you, just block him, right? Don't put any energy into that. For sure, but just be respectful. I know that girls and guys are equally at fault for doing it. I think just everyone in general in the workplace, young or old, right? Just be considerate. I know that we're in contact with lots of people, but if you're going to take on that responsibility, if you're going to talk with a lot of people, don't leave people hanging. If you're not. If you intend on leaving people hanging or you don't want to respond, don't talk to them in the first place.
Yeah.
Right? So, would you have anything to add to that?
No. Yeah, it pretty much sums up how I feel about it. I definitely am guilty of it, as we all are.
Of course, we're all human. We make mistakes. But for the most part, I think if you generally try to conduct yourself in this way.
I think you try to be considerate and fair. And I think also there's urgency. Like, if it's an urgent, if it's something urgent, you get back to them, you try your best to be honest. And, I can see where sometimes when you're giving what you might perceive as bad news to somebody, that can always be a challenge, like wording it. And then it's easy to put it off, because that's the other weird part of it, is because you're going to text it, it's easy to say, I'll do it later, I'll type it later, I'll figure it out later. Yeah. And then you just keep putting, and then until you get to that kind of point where, oh, now it'd just be awkward. It happens, unfortunately, but yeah, it is like kind of just a result of our being having too much access to everybody and everything. And then you add on social media and it just becomes a mess.
Hmm. Yeah. So, what do you guys think? Do any of these things, strike a nerve with you?
yeah. Or do you have any gym pet peeves or pet peeves in general?
Yeah.
Let us know if you've stayed on this long for a non-fitness podcast.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess stuff.
You know where to reach us.
Yes. TheGymWits.com. Mm-hmm. All of our stuff is there. And
download the app.
Download the app if you have an iPhone. And we will be coming to other platforms soon. Or devices soon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's it. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, aka Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gymwits.